We'll pray before we look at that passage. Heavenly Father, thank you for your good word. And I pray that today that again you would quicken us through it, you would enliven us, you would bring us to worship and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ through it. Amen. Well, today I want to tell you a reversal story. And by the way, that's not an actual picture of Mary, that's just a random generated picture, but a reversal story, a story of the poor and lowly lifted up, the story of Christmas. And the story of Christmas begins with Mary. Now, it may be that you don't know Mary that well, or maybe you've heard lots of things about Mary in church, and you're not sure what's real and what isn't real. Sometimes we just don't know the Mary that we meet in the Bible. And so let me help you get up to speed. Mary is a young girl, probably a teenager, preparing to get married. We're not told that she's special or different in any way. We're not told that she's especially pious. And we're not told that she deserved God's special favour. In fact, we know pretty much nothing about Mary, except that an angel visited her one day and said something incredible. "Greetings, favoured woman. The Lord is with you." Now, that's what the angel said. "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." And this was troubling to Mary. She obviously struggled with those words. So the angel repeated something key. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God." So Mary, we find, is a favoured woman who has found favour with God. Friends, this is a pretty special greeting. To be favoured. There are times when people find favour with us because of things they do. So there are many people in this church who have done really kind things for me and for my family, for whom they found favour. I hope that I've done some kindnesses for some of you as well. Not with the expectation of favour, but rather that I found favour through being genuinely kind to you. But how do you find favour with God? Is there any kindness that you can show God? Is there anything that you can offer him that he needs, that he doesn't already have, or that he could just create without you? Is there anyone on this earth that is so good, so pious, that God would especially notice them and appreciate them? And the answer to all of those questions biblically is no. We have nothing that we bring to God that he needs. He's the one who provides all things. In Luke chapter 2, we learn that Jesus came into this world as a saviour to rescue us from sin. And Peter will later say that Christ died for sins once for all meaning everyone, everyone even including Mary. Christ died for all, that they might have life. So what then does it mean to say that Mary found favour with God? Let me illustrate by sharing the story the first time my wife Vanessa and I went to church. And if this is your first time in a church service today, again, welcome. I've been there. I know the fear of breaking some unspoken rule that I don't know, that everyone else in the room knows. I get that. Let me assure you that I want to show you kindness today as well. So if you break some unspoken rule, it'll be fine. It won't be a problem. Well, first time we went to church, we walked in, we were nervous. There's a whole lot of stuff we don't know. We've never been to a church anywhere. We walk in, we didn't know where the toilets were. We didn't know when you're supposed to sit or stand. We didn't know what was going on when someone up the front would say something and people in the congregation would say something back. And we're thinking, how do they know what to say? We had no idea. We were well and truly out of our comfort zone. Well, after the service, we went to morning tea. And morning tea in those days was in a hall that was separate. It wasn't just out in the foyer. We had to walk down to a hall and walk into a room. We didn't know what's in the room. And we were nervous about that. We found our way into a corner. And we didn't know what would happen. Is anyone going to talk to us, or are we actually as weird as we feel right now? Right? Remember, we talked about inside voice and outside voice. All right. But what was lovely that morning is a lady called Alison came over and talked to us. And she brought her husband, Brett, over. And the two of them came and spoke with us. They helped us have morning tea. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But they helped us feel at home, have morning tea. They helped us know how church worked. And it was really lovely. Would I have come back the next week if they didn't do that? I don't know. I hope I would have. I was a brand new Christian at the time. I knew the church really mattered. I didn't yet understand why it mattered. I knew it did matter. So I hope I would have gone back. But they made it easier for me. And so for those of you here who it's not your first time, you can always be that Brett and Alison for someone else, can't you? Help someone find it easier here for their first time or first 10 times. And friends, they didn't need to talk to me. I'm sure that they had people they would rather have spoken to. I'm sure they had friends in the congregation. They go, oh, I'd love to catch up with such and such. But that morning they decided to show me favour. And friends, I think that's the kind of favour we're talking about here. In fact, the word favour here is the same word in Ephesians 2, which is translated as grace. Right? It's undeserved goodness. We didn't deserve to have someone come up and talk to us. We hadn't done anything worthy of that. But they just showed us graver. Graver. That's a new word. Yeah, graver. That's grace and favour combined. Anyway, they showed us grace and favour. Yeah. Completely undeserved. And friends, this term we've looked at Abraham. And Abraham wasn't really a great guy, was he? He didn't have kind of qualities that deserved God's favour. And yet, God showed him favour. This is how our God works. He shows undeserved grace and mercy to people. And that's what he did to Mary. He appears to this girl, Mary, and says, you have found favour with God. Undeserved grace. But then he continues with some incredible news. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, I do want to just acknowledge the virgin birth is remarkable. The idea that a woman would have a child without a man being involved at all and without modern medical advancement is remarkable. And, of course, a great sense of shame, because who would believe it? Who would have believed Mary? Oh, no, I'm pregnant, but no, I haven't done anything. Yeah, right. And this is an age when people didn't live together or sleep together before marriage. So an engaged girl falling pregnant would certainly have had the rumour mill going. But the rest of the announcement is even more amazing. Your son will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, every time the phrase Most High appears in the Bible, it's talking about God himself. The Son of the Most High is the Son of God. There's nothing vague about this comment. It's clear as a bell that this angel is saying, you are going to have God's son. And the only person in all scripture who's ever called God's son, from Psalm 2, is his Messiah, his anointed king. And clearly, that's the claim here. Mary is going to give birth to a child who would be God's king and God's son. This son of God will reign over David's throne. That is to say, he'll reign over the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, forever. And his kingdom will have no end. That's the claim. That's a huge claim, isn't it? Now, there's a whole lot of arguments about the origin of Christmas. If you look them up on the internet, you'll find all sorts of conspiracy theories out there, including the popular but improbable idea that Christians just took over the pagan celebration of the winter solstice. We also know it's unlikely Jesus was born on the 25th of December. But there are many things that we don't know that just don't matter. It doesn't really matter the origin of Christmas. It doesn't really matter what day Jesus was born. What does matter is the one thing that really makes Christmas worth celebrating is the birth of this child, Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. God's great gift of undeserved kindness to us. The Son of God come into our world, God's King. But the part of story that we're looking at today comes next. Mary goes to visit her older cousin Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth has also had an angel appear to her and tell her that she's going to give birth, but in the normal way. And we read the following from verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." Now, I just want to pause for a moment and think about what Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, has just done. See, I can imagine if I was a foot servant to the Queen and the Queen was pregnant, you know, I could say something like, "Wow, imagine that the mother of my Lord should come to me." I could imagine that. But this is my cousin. You know, do you go to your cousin who's pregnant and say, "Wow, the mother of my Lord"? That's an odd thing to do, isn't it? But this is a spirit-filled thing. And here we start to see Mary's great reversal. See, it is the very ordinariness of Mary that in one sense makes this so special. She's an ordinary girl. And God says, "I'm going to show you favour. You will be the mother of my son." This is an amazing reversal. I was reading the other day the story of Warren Buffett, right? A great rags to riches kind of story. A guy who made a fortune from very humble beginnings. But that's nothing compared to this. An ordinary girl who's told that she will give birth to God's son. And so with that, we get to today's passage, because Mary breaks out in song. And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, because he's looked with favour on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy." I want you to notice the source of Mary's blessings here. See, yesterday, Vanessa and I, we did the carols down at Spring Farm. We sung down there. And then we went to Woolworths to buy the things you can't buy at Aldi. So we spent $200 at Woolworths. And then we went to Aldi for two bags. Went to Aldi and got six bags for $300. And so we did our Christmas shopping. And as I walked out of Aldi, I couldn't help but reflect on how much this grocery cart overflowing would be worth to so many people in the world. What a blessing it is to have so much food. So much food that our cart is overflowing. And knowing that I'll be back there in a week. I couldn't help but reflect on how many people in the world would love right now to have this trolley full of groceries. What blessings we have. And I still find it incredible. I can go to a tap, turn on a tap and have drinkable water. How many people in our world would kill for that? That's extraordinary. We are so blessed. And again, if that is not you, if you need help this Christmas, we've got the hampers out the front. If you need help with something else, come and see me. But food and water are not our greatest blessings, are they? They're not our greatest blessings. And this is the thing I appreciate about Mary. Where does she count her blessing? She counts her blessing in God. God is the one who blesses her. And I appreciate that because we live in a similar space. Our blessings are in Christ. And sometimes we forget that. We look at how blessed we are in this world and we forget the blessings that are ours in Christ. The greatest blessing in this world is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. That is the greatest blessing. If you don't know that blessing, come and talk to me. I would love you to know that blessing. I'd love this Christmas to be a new birth for you. We have everything in him. And in this moment, Mary gets a glimpse of how richly blessed she is. And she continues to share some of those blessings. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He's done a mighty deed with his arm. He's scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He's toppled the hungry from their, the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. Notice here that Mary sees God's greatness displayed in his might and his mercy displayed in his might. He's scattered the proud. He's toppled the mighty. He's exalted the lowly, satisfied the hungry. He's had mercy on Israel. Now, at that moment, Herod is still on his throne. Tiberius is still the Roman emperor. Israel is still under Roman rule. It seems like nothing's changed at all, and yet for Mary, she says everything has changed. The birth of this baby has toppled the world's order, has turned everything upside down, because he's God's king. He's the king to whom all other kings ought to submit. And I think Mary gets a perspective that's sometimes lost on us today. You know, our future is not tied in any way to the politics of the Middle East, as horrible as some of the things we've seen there are. It's not even tied to the politics of Australia. If tomorrow Australia outlawed Christianity, we would still have every blessing in Christ. We wouldn't be on the losing side of history as though wrong and right are determined by law at the time. We'd still be in Christ. We still have every blessing in him. You see, God's kingdom has come. And I want you to think about this for a second. God's kingdom, his rule, has come to earth in Jesus. He is the king. He is the one who scatters the proud. He is the one who will bring judgment. But he's also the one who has mercy. He's the one who shows favour to those who hunger and thirst for him. Which brings me to our reversal. You know, humanity is a complex thing, aren't we? We are incredibly creative. I'm still amazed, and I've said it before, but I'm still amazed at the tissue box. You pull a tissue out and another one appears. Like, as far as technology goes, for me, that's the apex, right? That's as far as we go. But, you know, how do you build a bridge over a river? How do you build a Sydney Harbour Tunnel? How do you do that? I can't even begin to think about how to do that. Like, we're amazing, right? And 3D printing. I look at something made from 3D printing. Incredible, right? That's just people smarter than me are doing stuff there. But on the other hand, tonight when you go to bed, you lock your doors, you lock your car doors. We're afraid to go out to certain places at night. We abuse, we hurt one another. Even at church, we have safe ministry policies to protect vulnerable people. We have police and military to minimise evil. And for many of our families, you know what Christmas will be like, don't you? It will be painful because of the people that aren't there, and it will be painful because of the people that are there, both at the same time. Humanity is amazing. And yet at the same time, it's like we're carrying this virus that results in death and disorder wherever we go. And that virus is sin. And friends, Jesus, the baby in this story, still not even born, the fetus in this story, came into our world to die for sin so that we would have eternal life. Christmas is the great reminder that God's favour didn't stop at Mary, did it? It extended to us who trust in him. The very fact that God took on human flesh, our flesh, the flesh of an infant to save us, is remarkable. The very fact that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus into this world to save us is remarkable. The great reversal is that God became one of us to make us new. So friends, enjoy Christmas. Enjoy the food, enjoy the friends, enjoy the gifts. But thank God for Christmas. And thank God that he loves us. And thank God that in Jesus we know his favour. And that by following Jesus, we too are part of the greatest reversal story in this world. The story of sinners shown favour of God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray and then I'll invite our musicians forward as we sing Speak, O Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the grace that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the grace that you showed to Mary, and thank you that continues to us. I pray, Heavenly Father, this Christmas we will find our every source of blessing in you. I pray that we will have happy Christmas and we'll be great witnesses and great lovers of our friends and family, even the ones that are hard to love. But I pray more importantly, Lord, that we will know the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ and we will celebrate and find our joy in you. Amen.